Couple months ago, Brisbane-based band Shepherd were at the forefront of a little bit of controversy regarding the Commonwealth Games, in particular, the way the Games Committee paid performing artists.
The band revealed that they were offered a mere $6,000, split between the band's six-piece act, adding on that it would be a great platform for quote-unquote exposure.
And you know, that got us thinking, what is the difference in creative industries that considers it acceptable to pay an artist in exposure rather than in cash?
To get further insight, I got in touch with Matthew Carsley, who's most notable for his portrayal of Ajax in Channel 9's Doctor Doctor.
And I spoke to Nicole Issa, a budding singer-songwriter who's been playing around the Sydney gig circuit for around about 4 years.
The first part of understanding this premise is to find out if there's any real, tangible benefit in doing work for exposure.
For Nicole, there's a line in the sand when it becomes not okay to not pay an artist for their work.
I think doing a charity gig every once in a while is a good thing, just especially because I really appreciate that. But I feel like when you're first starting out, look, I understand you say yes to everything and, you know, and it was fun for me for a while, but it does discredit what you're doing. You know, the value of what you're doing isn't seen. The reality is, as long as people are paying for something, they're not going to see it as valuable. Well, I feel like it's in a lot of creative professions, especially like tattooing. Oh, you know, just tattoo me for exposure. I'm going to have you on my arm for the rest of my life. But it's like, no, it doesn't work like that.
When I chatted with Matt, he said it was about the payoff of that exposure. Are you getting what you're worth?
Now, if you use an artist and you use their labor in substitute for this money, the amount of labor that they put forward for promised exposure should equate to the exposure that they will receive, the audience and the people that will be seeing it. And it should be not only a large amount of people for a large amount of work, but the right type of people. And I think the problem with working for free or for exposure only comes when there's no exposure. Okay, say that someone offers you exposure and they're talking about a couple family friends. They might as well be saying, hey, I'll pay you $1 million, but it's going to be Monopoly money.
And the thing is about money is that there'll always be costs involved in the development of the artistic process. Costs that exposure won't compensate.
For example, like it's a gig in the city. I'm going to be driving into the city because I have all my equipment, which is going to cost $20 or something in petrol, let's just say. Then I've got all my equipment. My amp cost around $800. My guitar is about $1,500. I've got all my leads. That'll take about $100.
And that's not even accounting for all the practice and setup hours that could be spent earning money at a standard job.
But Matt does say there's an onus on the artists themselves to negotiate their finances.
You are the business. If you are the artist, then you are the business. The importance of negotiating comes from, like, you know, as an artist, as much as you want to create for the sake of creating, there is still a business aspect. And, you know, that's the whole idea of, like, working for money or working for exposure. We're talking about a business transaction. And you should always be careful that you're not getting screwed over.
But financial gain isn't the only reason that art exists. Perhaps there's a more personal element to it that has led the creative industry to not paying artists for their services.
There is a difference between someone who creates as a service and someone who creates in order to create and in order to express oneself. So there's the artisan and then there's the artist. Original art that really resonates because it partially articulates a shared or grand experience that you know, can't necessarily be articulated with a few words. Art is a medium made to be consumed, and it's not necessary as food or water, but it's a luxury. And we live a life of luxury, which is why we're surrounded by art, which is why we take it for granted and we think that we can get away with using it for our own means without paying back the artist with the necessary funds of money or even exposure, even the learning experience.
I mean, it's true, art can be an intensely personal medium. Perhaps artists aren't being meaningfully compensated because the industry isn't keeping up with the changing face of art consumption. Why is that?
Nobody knows how it works. The reality is even like record labels don't know how the music industry works because there's internet, you know, and there's so many things.
For example, streaming platforms like YouTube or Bandcamp and SoundCloud, we discussed those.
And even with like SoundCloud as well, one thing that was really interesting, you upload anything on SoundCloud, SoundCloud can do whatever they want with it and not pay you. So it is how much exposure should you get versus am I actually going to be credited for the work? Because there's a whole industry of SoundCloud rappers now where it's like, cool, they're famous on SoundCloud, but the way they make their money is through live performance because they're not getting money on SoundCloud, but they can't put it on Spotify or anything because no one will listen to it.
So, is it the nature of art or its industry driving this norm that sets apart these creative professions from other services?
Nicole presents the grapple of the creative professional in a developing industry,
whereas Matt sees it from the perspective of art's intrinsic value and the divide between self-expression and financial gain.
Both are valid points. Perhaps the crux of the matter lies somewhere in between.
This is why your project's good, is because it doesn't really have an exact answer. It's a yes-no question without a yes-no answer, you know?